104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a big story of the day.
It's March Madness. C-Mac, Zach Bye. At 5 o'clock, Emmanuel Sanders will be in studio. Big day. Orlando is volunteering to... That'd be awesome for me. Have as many big guys standing behind me as humanly possible. No, I think... Listen. A lot of people, Zach, have thought that this is going to be some sort of incredible confrontation. And I think, you know... In all honesty, we were probably, as a radio station, fueling that fire in a hopefully fun way. Well, thanks a lot.
What makes you say that?
Promo
or what?
Yeah.
Hourly notifications?
Right. I mean, it was... We definitely made the most of the short amount of time we've had to promote this. We've made the most of it.
And that's really the thing, because I saw some people saying, hey, you know... You don't need to lay it on this thick, but we only had 24 hours to do it.
Less? Yeah. Well, no, you're right. Yeah, a little bit more, I suppose, right? Because 4 o'clock is...
So whatever, you know, 26 hours to promote it.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've done some digging into Emmanuel and his journey. You know, everybody's got a story, Zach. Everybody's got a story. And the way you grow up and who you are usually dictates how you act at certain points of your life. And I think all of us, you know, grow and get better, and all of us make mistakes. So today's an opportunity not to, you know, point fingers and to yell and scream and that sort of stuff, but to have a real conversation about most likely, I mean, you know, Emmanuel's kind of had fun with, like, you know, I'd put you out of business, or I'd do this, that, or the other thing. And I mean, if Emmanuel really wanted to do like a talk show, I mean, seriously, like, do you really want to do a talk show? We could do that. I mean, I'd probably invite him back.
We're still doing auditions.
He
doesn't have to be a Bronco this year.
I mean, you know, if he really wanted to sit in here and just and we don't have to dig into things, and he just wanted to do like a talk show, we could definitely do that.
Well, I'm hoping.
I mean, I'd be thrilled to hear like his honest opinion on so many things that have to do with the franchise.
Well, for me, like, I just happened to be in here with you this week. So I kind of lucked into this by proxy that I'll be sitting across from Emmanuel. But I'm hoping that after you guys do whatever you're going to do, because I'm going to hang back. I don't need to be directly involved. This is your thing. If I can be a lubricant at any point, I will, or I'll try to. But I'm just going to kind of be like the kid in the backseat while mom and dad hash through, you know, how they're going to pay the mortgage.
It's going to be all good. I think it'll be, we've got a bunch of time. It'll be a good conversation. I think his story is really interesting. So, and where he's been and what he wants to talk about or what he doesn't want to talk about, it'll kind of be up to him. But we're looking at a guy who is maybe at the... probably at the end of the road for the Broncos one year.
Yep.
And possibly at the end of the road as an NFL player. He's got a lot of cool options, you know, and I think he's been smart about thinking about what those options could be. But it is hard to take your cleats off the grass. You don't get your cleats on the grass. At the end of the day, you take your cleats off the grass and... I don't know. I don't know where he is in his mind, in his head. He's taken a lot of hits. He's had a ton of injuries. He's overcoming a challenge of his lifetime right now. And I would say, hey, if he still wants to play, he should play as long as he can. And he's going to get paid pretty big bucks this year to be with the Denver Broncos, I think. But it is tricky, Zach, because he got 1.5 and he doesn't get the rest of his money until the season starts. And once the season starts, then okay, he gets the rest of the cash.
It's like 10 and a quarter total, right?
Yeah. Yeah, in total. So the concept of him like renegotiating his deal to me is preposterous.
Not going to happen, D-Mac.
Yeah, I don't blame him. In fact, I was of the belief that if anything, if he didn't get this injury and he finished off the season like he was having, he would be in a prime position to actually maybe hold out a little bit and get a bigger contract. Well, the injury kind of put the kibosh on that, right? But I don't think he should, you know, take a lesser deal and string it out over a couple of years.
I don't think that that's what he's thinking.
But I don't think he's going to get that offer either. I don't think that's going to happen. Just
okay.
Period.
Okay.
Like, I think they're going to have him play it out. Chris Harris, maybe. You know, maybe they talk to Chris Harris about some sort of extension, and maybe that's going
to
happen.
I could see the Broncos trying to have a conversation with him and say, hey, we want you around here for the next 3 years. Let's stretch this out.
But with Emmanuel, I don't think so. However, hey, you're healthy, you ball out, you know, you love Denver, you're living here now, wife, kids, the whole thing, who knows? I mean, and that would be great, because if that happens, that means the Broncos are having a great season, that means he's a highly productive member of the team, that means things are really, really good. But I was talking to one of my little birdies today, and he was talking to me, he was like, hey, you think Joe Flacco's going to get through like 5 games and be like, wow, this team stinks.
Gosh, I hope not.
But kind of look around, you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, that is definitely the glass is half empty. You know, that is Emmanuel's not playing well after his injury. That is, we didn't get the right tight end, and that's not working. That is, Juwan James is a disappointment at right tackle. Garrett Bowles hasn't learned anything there. I mean, this Philip Lindsay, his wrist injury just hasn't healed exactly. He's like fumbling, or there's something wrong there. I mean, this is just kind of the nuclear nightmare scenario. If they're sitting there like 1-6, then you're like, holy cow.
I mean, you say nuclear nightmare. I don't think it would be 1-6, but in each of those examples that you just gave, the possibility is real that each of those could bear out the way that you just said it.
That is just like the most negative.
Sure.
And I'm not anxious or want to necessarily go down that path, but there's a yin to every yang. So
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
You don't really have those questions about the defense. It is really hard to imagine the defense being worse than it was last year or being bad at all. I mean, wouldn't you be shocked if the defense was a bad defense?
Shocked. I'm expecting it to get significantly better, and it was already pretty good. But I truly wonder, even if Juwan James is what we hope he would be, even if Philip Lindsay bounces back, even if Joe Flacco is, you know, the best version of himself, even if Garrett Bowles figures it out, We still, and I don't want to go down negative here, but we got to be cautious with our expectations of this offense under a guy who has never done the job before. Never.
Yeah.
And Rich Gangarello. I mean, you think to...
It's tricky, isn't it?
You think of your days of radio. Mm-hmm. You did radio for a number of years before you jumped into the sports talk realm of things. So you had experience behind this microphone, just like Rich Scangarello.
22 years.
Right. Just like Rich Scangarello has been a football guy his whole life. But when you jump into this different realm.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's a good point. But before I was doing talk full time, I did do talk radio in different type. I was like an offensive coordinator.
I'm just using before you as an analogy.
No,
that's
but
all.
It's good. But before I was really full-time and doing this, there were parts of my career that were, I was getting training. I was sort of in the mix a little bit. So when I finally made the move full-time to sports talk, you know, I was prepared, you know, because I had a lot of stuff leading up to it. I didn't jump into it right away. You know, I didn't come out of college at, you know, 22, 23 and start doing it. I mean, very few people do, by the way.
Yeah. And if you are that guy, then you know someone and you cut the line and you're Mike Golick's son or something.
Yeah, you got some sort of connection. You don't have a big view on the world. You're probably pretty boring. Nobody really cares about your opinion because you haven't really gone through any ups and downs. Like, I was watching Jack Collinsworth on NFL Live. Now, that's an okay thing for a younger guy to do. You're just hosting a show. You're just asking other people questions. You're just going from one thing to another. But I was like, do I care about what Jack Collinsworth thinks about anything? But the crazy part is how much his voice sounds like his dad's. It is nuts.
I don't like to see that personally. Now, I know I'm going to come across as a hater, but for someone who had to be a substitute teacher at age 27 to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and stock shelves to try to make $50 so I could make $12 an hour at night to be on the air.
So you look at Jack Collinsworth like, I know why you're here.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like you didn't put in on this.
Like Golic's got his kid doing something.
Dude, he graduated Notre Dame and was like on ESPN radio nationally. And look, if you have that connection, then brother, you go get it. But for me, I just, there's an element to me respecting people who cut their teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
So he's been, like you say, like you said in your position, you go, you know, I was kind of like priming for this. It was almost like I was an offensive coordinator. That's the problem with Scans. He's never been an offensive coordinator in the National Football League.
That's a good point.
He's a quarterbacks coach. He was an offensive coordinator at Wagner. Right. I called Wagner's games.
How were they?
There's 400 people there, friends and family. Just jumped the gate to get in. One of my teammates played there.
Listen, if you wanted to go down the path that this season is going to be a disaster, like my very cynical birdie I was talking to, and that after week 7, Joe Flacco is going to look around and be like, wow, this is terrible. Then there's examples of why you could do that. I don't think that's going to be the case, and I think Emmanuel Sanders will be a big part of it. But it's got to be weighing on his mind just a little bit about where this is really going to go, because this the end of his contract, and very, very few guys actually see the final year of their contract. And he's about to see the final year of two different free agent contracts with the Broncos. So it's that's doesn't really happen. You know, if he can get to the end of this contract, it would mean over the past 6 years he would have made $48 million in 6 years. Well, I mean, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And he has a Super Bowl ring. And people in general love him and don't understand why I've been so critical over the years.
Well, if you're close enough to the situation, you know, there's always a difference between someone who covers the team nationally and locally. And if you are as tied in as you are, and a lot of our listeners, thousands of our listeners, there are folks who understand where you have come from. There's folks who understand and think that you've put an overemphasis on it. But it's not like you were like making stuff up.
No, but the irony with this whole thing, and I'm glad it's coming together today, and I'm fine to do it, is there hasn't been any kind of significant beef whatsoever in a long time. I mean, he kind of like, you know, when the Marquette King thing happened, he was quick to sort of, you know, jump all over me when that happened. So did Shelby Harris. They were the only two, by the way, that kind of like got on Marquette King's side. Most everybody realized the truth with Marquette King.
The whole nation realized how it went down, except for a portion of our local media here who went, you know, scrambling to his defense.
Well, there was the Marquette King, you know, good guy PR tour that happened immediately thereafter.
Oh, yeah.
And it did hoodwink a couple of people around here. It's okay. You know what the truth is, and then you know it's being manufactured.
Like, he acted like a jerk, period.
Yeah. And then he threatened a member of the media.
He did.
With physical violence.
He did.
So, I mean, these things aren't really debatable.
And then he hopped on Twitter and threw those two emojis out there that was pretty much like...
probably are still there to look at now.
It's like a sexual, you know, explicit message to you.
I don't think there's any world of appropriateness where that's okay, but whatever.
Right.
I mean, you know... The truth came out, and then they get Colby Wideman, who's like the world's like freaking nicest human being in the world. They got Brandon McManus, who is a great dude. They got Casey Kreider, who is like helping like little old ladies with their groceries across the street. You know, all of a sudden they kind of cleaned up. You know, wasn't really any drama there.
And somehow that was the not the last time that Marquette King's name was splashed on the front page of ESPN, because he did that John Gruden video.
Yeah.
That was pre-produced. He shot it before the game and then released it after the win with the Chucky doll and putting the bottle of Cabernet to the grill.
So I think that was the last time, and I didn't even take it all that seriously when Emmanuel was like jumping to, you know, Marquette King's defense.
It was just, they're teammates. That's what you do. You know, a lot of times.
You don't, though. Because nobody else did.
Well,
Shelby Harris did, because he was friends with him in Oakland. So, but that was it. I mean, it wasn't like, there wasn't some sort of crazy Forget it. I don't even care. We certainly knew what the deal was with Marquette King. It was a bad. We did. The past 2 years, Zach, have been just littered with so many mistakes. And it is just such a breath of fresh air to see move after move with the Broncos since January just be like spot on. Like, good, I get it, makes sense.
Well, I said 2 days ago, I hope we look back and acknowledge this period of time as one of the best 365-day stretches that John always had.
Even, like, during the season, yeah, eventually got rid of Pac-Man Jones. Yeah, eventually got rid of Mark Hicks.
I still can't believe they brought Pac-Man in here.
It was a bad move.
35-year-old fourth corner.
It was a terrible move that was supported by Vance Joseph, who will go down as seemingly a nice enough guy, but so incredibly unprepared to be a head coach, it wasn't even funny.
Yeah.
And you got Billy Musgrave, who was a lifetime journeyman coach. I mean, when you look up a guy's resume, and it's 20 years of 2 years here, year here, 3 years here, 2 years here, and you're just kind of floating in that offensive coordinator, quarterback, coach, not even a head coach. You're kind of floating in that world.
I'm looking at his resume right now.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
You want to go through it?
Yeah. And starting with 1997, I'm not going to go through every year by year because it's going to be too just drawn out. But from the Raiders QB coach to the offenses assistant to the Eagles, the quarterbacks coach for the Panthers, OC for the Panthers, OC for Virginia, OC for the Jags, OC and QB's coach for the Jags, Washington Redskins OC, Washington Redskins quarterbacks coach, Falcons quarterbacks coach, Minnesota Vikings OC, Eagles quarterbacks coach, Raiders OC.
Crazy, right?
Broncos OC, yeah.
And never a head coach. And like, I like Billy Musgrave. He was all right, I guess.
I guess.
I was definitely buddies with Mike McCoy. But
that was a train wreck.
A total train wreck. Because nobody's role was clearly defined.
Dude, I remember when Mike McCoy got hired. And
I thought it was great when he got hired.
Everyone was like, oh, whoa, Mike McCoy. He's so player friendly.
It's going to be great.
DT gets his playback. You don't have to adapt to Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy adapts to his players.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
That didn't work out. He was like, but the reason why it didn't work out was because Vance Joseph wasn't experienced enough to know how to establish what the roles were and how things were going to operate.
Dude, he didn't know his role. After the first day of practice, he says, I don't know where to go. Do you remember that?
Yeah, you know, there were so many things.
He said, I don't know where to go. I'm used to coaching my group.
And we knew, just reading the Boulder Daily Camera, that VJ should never have got the job in the first place and should have been fired immediately, which would have been embarrassing. I mean, it's embarrassing to have a press conference and then 2 days later, fire the coach. That sucks. It's embarrassing, but you know, you get over it and you hire Frank Reich. And that's what the Colts did. Oh, Josh McDaniels is coming. Now he's not. Embarrassing, but we're late in the game, but we're going to hire Frank Reich and he's going to be awesome. And that is exactly what happened.
Right. Well, I remember Frank Reich showed up and his first words at the presser was, the backup spots always served me well, which I freaking loved. I love Frank Reich.
What a great accident for the Colts.
Oh, my gosh.
But they had a GM who was he the executive of the year? Was the Colts GM the executive of the year? Everybody wants to give the Broncos draft great grades.
It's Chris Ballard, right? He did he get executive of the year?
Boy, he deserved it. Chris Ballard, yeah. They had a world-class draft. They had a unreal draft. But you can have a draft like that because you got a quarterback. And once their quarterback stays healthy, you know, you can sort of move on to other areas.
He returned to form this year too, man. And that offensive line, I mean, Andrew Luck went from the most sacked quarterback in the sport to being the most protected quarterback in the
sport. They were at times dominating. It's, you know, I could have seen them going further last year, and I could see them going pretty far next year, too.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, that worked out for them, and losing Josh McDaniels was a fine thing. And if we really, you know, if the Broncos did what they really... I think the Broncos knew they should have disposed of VJ immediately. And it just was just as too embarrassing.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you went back to that because I believe the sentiment would have gone from embarrassing, but with every flip of the calendar, I think it would have turned to commendable.
Yeah, at the end of the day,
It'd
have been embarrassing, but then it would have been,
history would have remembered it fondly.
Yeah.
Especially in the era, first of all, in any era, hopefully, but especially this one.
It is funny because in the Elway, the age of Elway, you have, well, he didn't hire Josh McDaniels, but he went from Josh McDaniels to John Fox, which is a guy steady, you know, dialed in, just, you know, he's John Fox, right? And then you go to Gary Kubiak, another guy who's just meant to, you know, do this job. The crazy thing is, how did it get to VJ in the first place? Like, how did we ever go from, you know, a guy like John Fox, a guy like Gary Kubiak, to a guy like Vance Joseph?
Well, really, that...
How did it happen?
I mean, that one is on John. John spotted him a couple years in advance, identified him as a bright young coach, couldn't get him. And then, I mean, you've got to remember what happened in between that and then him getting hired. He goes to Miami, and he was the defensive coordinator of the 26th-ranked defense in the sport.
Nothing very impressive. The one thing John's done well, he's done a lot of things well, but one of the things that have worked is hiring older, more mature head coaches and not worrying about developing a quarterback. Now, you got to have players. And one of the lessons, too, is you don't want to really have two high-priced receivers. But you can have one. You can have one, and you can have younger guys who look to be stars. But you really can't go, in this stage of analytics and salary cap, with two high-priced guys at that position, Zach, because there's just too much talent down low. So you do really have to draft and develop. You have to hang in there with these wide receivers through their rookie years. That can be challenging. And they're not always that great in their rookie years.
I had to remind you that yesterday with Deshaun Hamilton, by the way.
That's true.
Speaking truth here. I like it.
And Emmanuel had in his rookie year, he got better and better and better as time went on. He was a long shot to make the Steelers his rookie year.
Emmanuel Sanders' rookie year, he 28 receptions, 376 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then the next year was actually worse. He goes... 22 receptions.
Yeah. He had a lot of injuries,
288
too.
Yards. He played 11 games. And then the next year, he kind of pops. He goes for 626.
Yeah, so he's just kind of hanging in there.
Yeah.
And then he was one of these stories where eventually when he got to free agency with the Steelers, they didn't offer him a deal.
That's right.
But there were all sorts of teams that were interested at a certain price. He was in that second wave of free agency. And then he cashed in, 2 years ago to get a 3-year, $33 million deal. Pretty good. So we're looking forward to having Emmanuel in here after 5 o'clock. Like I said, I've been pretty praiseworthy of Sanders for the past year or so, or more so. The issues I had with him pertain to leadership more like a couple years ago, really, than recently. So, and we had fun. I think it's been fun with the whole driving thing. I don't think anybody takes that. I mean, if you're insulted by that, okay. But I mean, come on.
That was more like that was.
We got to play that for him and see how he reacts to that. Wasn't it funny?
You having fun with that was the equivalent of him having fun with you saying he'd take your career.
Like, for the Broncos.
It's sort of light. It's sort of light.
So maybe we'll find more in common than we really think. Things change over time, and we'll look forward to seeing how it plays out. Or perhaps it's a complete disaster, and we just sit here and we start screaming at each other.
That's a thrill about being live.
And he walks out, or I walk out, or who knows what happens. We don't know. We'll find out at 5 o'clock. The Broncos made a quarterback move. We got to think of a nickname for what's going on. There's something fun going on here, and we'll talk about it coming up next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Well, at 5 o'clock, Emmanuel Sanders will be in studio. I know a lot of people have been... looking forward to it.
Are you looking forward to it?
Absolutely. Definitely.
And
definitely.
What exactly are you looking forward to?
I want to get to know him a little bit better. I want to, you know, the great thing about doing this form of radio is you have time. And you can take your time with things. You don't have to plow through or rush through. And I would assume, because he's coming here, that he's open to spending time to talk as well. It's not just a rush thing or we're not necessarily promoting anything. It's, I think, a great opportunity just to sort of talk. So
I like it.
That's what I think.
I'm
so,
hoping.
Again, I have been very pro Emmanuel Sanders for the past year. I've been, you know, I did say I think they should have traded Emmanuel because I think they would have got more value for Emmanuel. I don't think that's an insult. I think that's a compliment because I thought the Broncos were going to be in a rebuilding mode. I didn't think they had all that many choices. So like Amari Cooper getting dealt, that's what I thought you could get more value for, and I think you could have got more value for Emmanuel than for Demaryius Thomas. That being said, you got a fourth round pick for Demaryius Thomas. I mean, you got Joe Flacco for
right.
You really traded Demaryius Thomas for Joe Flacco.
That's right. That's right.
Well, that's a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal.
You're gonna trade a, you know, a veteran wide receiver for a starting quarterback
who went to the Texans, had had a couple flashes, but eventually, you know, got hurt and season ended. And I know you don't know those things when you make the deal, but it's certainly it's to this point, it's worked out.
You know, Demaryius too. He's the same draft class as Sanders. And he's got, you know, the ACL, so he's got a... Or wait, no, he's got an Achilles too, right?
Oh, heck.
What,
gosh,
what is Demaryius?
Achilles,
Achilles, yeah.
It was Achilles.
Yeah, right. And now he's got to deal with the... I mean, he's got a felony charge hanging over his head for reckless driving. So he's...
And he's lucky that's all it was.
Let me tell you, that is a heck of a lot more serious than this Chad Kelly situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But even the felony is a heck of a lot less serious than losing his life, which he could have. And he could have killed that woman.
Could have killed the other guy in the car, too.
Yeah.
That one is bizarre land. There's got to be other stuff with that story that's, well, we'll see. I mean, I certainly don't wish ill will on Demaryius Thomas, but... It's hard to imagine Demaryius plays in the NFL again.
You know what? You're probably right. He doesn't have the, like, Emmanuel Sanders' slightness works to his favor. In fact, and you brought this up, and we've talked about it on Stokely and Zach, that Stokely tore his Achilles in the exact same age as Emmanuel and had his surgery at the exact same time. Within a two-week period, Stokely came back, was able to play for four more years. I think Emmanuel's... Just the way his body type is, like DT was already slowing down.
Yeah.
We saw that.
Yeah, DT had been dealing with this hip issue, and he was very strict with his diet and his conditioning, so he was in great shape. But, you know, he had other serious injuries. But so is Emmanuel.
Sure.
Emmanuel's had reoccurring foot issues, knee issues, and now this Achilles.
If
so
you remember,
we'll go into all of it coming up at 5 o'clock.
If you remember last offseason, Emmanuel said that he still felt like the ankle from the year before, before we even started playing football week one this past year.
I want to talk about the great Broncos smokescreen 2019.
Let's do it.
I want to come up with like a cooler nickname for it, but ghosting the NFL or no, I don't want to use vape. Vape is bad.
Vape is bad.
Trust me, I deal with these teenagers. The vaping stuff. Oh my god!
I have a. I pulled up the thesaurus here.
Okay, that could help
for smoke.
Yeah,
and we got exhaust, fog, mist, gas. Gas could work. Pollution, smog, soot, vapor.
Could I use gas face? Could I use the great Broncos gas face?
Gas face.
I don't know. Maybe that doesn't work. But here's another.
How about quarterback pollution? Quarterback smog.
The great Broncos quarterback.
QB mist.
Well, we'll find it. When it hits us, it'll hit us. Yeah. 303-713-1043. I mean, if you agree with us on this, I suppose. But I think it's. Here I am complimenting the Broncos again. I think it's brilliant. I think, first of all, you didn't pay Case all of his money. So you got some money to spend. Good on you. You got a quarterback who is better. You're bringing in Haskins and Drew Lock. I watched Drew Lock's pro day today.
What'd you think?
Everybody's good in their pro day.
Right.
I mean, so far, from what I've learned, only Teddy Bridgewater had a bad pro day. Everybody else ever who's been a quarterback has had a great pro day. And apparently Jordan Palmer's with all of them.
And Bridgewater still got picked at the end of the first round, didn't he?
I know.
Or did he?
Yeah,
I think so. Right. He's like, I think it was like the last pick.
How did he look? He looked great.
We were watching Dwayne Haskins pro day yesterday at my house. My wife goes, he looks good.
He does look good. Like,
you know what?
He does.
When you're not wearing a helmet or shoulder pads,
he
and
looks good.
Two of you on the field instead of 22.
He looks big. He looks strong. He looks composed. He looks. Drew Locke looked good.
Looks awesome.
He looked. They got a nice little. Not little. They got a beautiful indoor facility there at Mizzou.
Well, we had to remind you that, to be. Come correct. We had to remind you of this last year when you came back down from Laramie.
Oh, no, no.
And we were just lucky you were sitting down.
That was different.
Because you were like sprung.
That was different.
Said, quote, I've never seen anything like it in my life, end quote.
That's a true story. Still true. It was different. I'm telling you, it was different.
It was such a funny day.
Should have picked up that check at the library.
I know.
The restaurant.
Missed opportunities.
They signed Kevin Hogan to some sort of, like, barely legal contract. I mean, it is like, because they did not pick up the $2 million tender. They got him for a year or 2 years at, like, I mean, for an NFL backup quarterback, Zach, like, $1 million a year is about as low as you can go. So they've got Kevin Hogan signed up. This is another brilliant move, by the way, because you've got a backup if you need him. But you definitely give the impression, because you sign him for so low, it looks like just the lowest level insurance policy you could possibly have.
And you're saying, we're open for business
it
at 10.
It screams right? That we would take a quarterback.
That is such QB missed.
It's maybe QB missed. It's growing.
Okay.
QB missed.
Okay.
That's good QB missed. I like how you used it. That's good QB missed. All right.
Cool.
QB missed. The 2019 Broncos QB missed. It's solid QB missed right there.
That is QB missed. That's a thick missed.
That is a thick missed. I love it. All right.
Cool. I brought something to the table this week.
Ain't no doubt about it. We got Magic Mushroom Land. That was Chad. We got thick missed. That's Chad. That's Zach. Sorry.
QB missed.
Nailing gave us nothing. It's just ridiculous. Joking. So the QB missed is strong for the Broncos. And watch out. Watch out. Because if they deal back to 15. Oh, DK Metcalf. And Garrett Bradbury. Could work.
I am still, I'm not going to be there with DK Metcalf. Nothing can change that. We can agree.
I'll get you there.
Okay.
I'll get you there.
I'm receptive. I'm not closed off to you. I'm receptive.
So I think we got to do our part, and I'll tell you how we can do it next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, it's D-Mac and Zach. Zach Bye.
That is me.
And I get my phone number out, which I don't mind doing, but every time I do that, I get a crazy assortment of just like, you know, kind of new people reaching out, you know. It only lasts for like a day or so, but it's interesting for about a day or so.
So you have like the text line. Live on your personal phone.
Yeah. Kind of.
Like, I have made a point. I have not fired up, and I love the RamosLaw.com text line.
Yeah.
Not this week.
Oh, okay.
Not this week.
Emmanuel Sanders will be here after 5 o'clock. We have, I didn't know we owned this many cameras in the radio station. We're covered here.
Well, we've invested in them. I mean, these cameras, have you been seeing what our video crew has done, Sean Gates and Johnny Hart. Shout out to those guys. They've been great. The Mike Evans wing eating thing, our bracket challenge that we did with Kendall.
It was great.
It really is.
I was watching all those today. It was kind of funny how everybody sort of had their own spin on how they do the bracket. Can't really take me very serious. As it turns out, I'm watching and I'm like, wow. everybody's kind of serious about this thing. Everybody's like, you know, there's like some real things here. And I'm just sort of stupidly, you know, like a clown. Just picking the cues.
I don't think anyone clicked on your video for legitimate bracket advice.
No, nor should you.
They're like, what's DMAC going to do?
Yeah, don't.
I don't think that was the vibe.
No, but it's fun. I mean, it's a fun little minute,
oh, heck
I think.
Yeah. And everyone can play. Like, my wife, only a couple times a year, gets into sports, like, truly gets into it. Dude, she fills out a bracket. You would think our son's life is on the line. Like, she'll be rooting for the Vermont Catamounts with everything that she's got.
How'd Vermont? Oh, Vermont.
They were in a great game.
Florida State, but they lost.
They were in a great. They were tied at half. They ended up losing by 7. And I want to give a shout out right now. That was the old league I used to cover, America East. Every team that comes out of the America East shows well in the tournament. UMBC last year knocked their first ever 16 seed. But I gotta give Vermont a shout out. Because I saw something today, we all did, that we've never seen in the history of the NCAA tournament.
What's that?
I have an affinity for brothers. And, you know, up and down childhood, me and my brother went through a lot together. Like, we say our relationships forged through fire. When I was 18, I went right to the tattoo shop and got Brothers Are Forever inked on my back. So when I'm watching this game, and I see Ernie Duncan playing next to Everett Duncan, playing next to Robert Duncan in the same game.
Come on, really?
Three of the five Catamounts on the floor.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Are blood, man.
That's awesome.
The first time it's ever happened to NCAA tournament
history.
That's
really cool.
Making my hair stand up my arms right now.
It was cool for me to see this year, speaking of that topic, boy, Syracuse basketball. Do you remember Stevie Thompson?
Stevie Thompson.
Does that ring a bell?
Not really. What year are we talking about?
It was while I was in school.
Oh,
so.
Gosh. No. I was a twinkle at that point.
Anyways, he was a star at Syracuse. And I think he had kind of a middling NBA career. But he's an assistant coach at Oregon State. And he's got twins. And they play their starters for Oregon State.
That's cool.
And I didn't even realize that. And we were up for a visit, baseball college visit in January to Oregon State. And I'm looking at these guys, and I'm like, holy cow, Thompson. And I'm realizing, oh, my God, they are brothers. And then they're twin brothers. And then the dad's on the staff. And I'm like, hey.
That is cool.
Go Beavs.
That is cool. Look for another
set. Those stories are always fun.
Look for another set of twins later today when Nevada plays. I've been talking a little bit about Nevada. They could get upset today. Who knows? I could look like an idiot. But Caleb Martin and Cody Martin, they're two twins. They're both about the same size, 6'7", 200 pounds. They both have cornrows. You can't tell them apart. Love watching them play. They're both 1,000-point scorers. I'm looking forward to them playing later against Florida.
I can give you some suspicious Broncos trivia, which means I know an answer, but I don't know if I know the complete answer.
Uh-oh. One of these?
There have been brothers who have been at least one set of brothers who have played for the Broncos. Can you? This is the famous, this is you win nothing game show here, but do you remember the brothers who used to play for the Broncos?
Was it Champ and his brother Boss?
Holy cow, Zach By. Man, that wasn't even hard.
Come on now.
What the heck? That was easy.
That's me clapping for myself.
Good for you. Dang, dude. That was impressive. Well, there you go. Never mind Collins. I got it. I'm trying to think if there are any other brothers who are on any of the sports teams here in Denver. But, yeah, Boston Champ Bailey for a period of time.
Hey, what about this one? Well, I don't know if they were ever on the roster together, the 53, but what about Domantas Peko and his brother.
Well, they're cousins, though. But
I'm sorry. Kyle Peko.
Yep, they're related.
They're cousins. I'm sorry.
They're related.
Brothers.
Yep.
Okay. You got with the Patriots, you got the McCourty boys.
Yep. Devin and,
together.
Yeah, that was cool at the Super Bowl this year.
That was.
Yep. On media night, they kind of hung out on the same podium there for a little bit. Hey, we got... I want to play this TJ Ward thing.
Oh, I saw that. I said
that. Let's just do that next. Let's just, because I want a little time to have some fun with it. And let's do that next, okay? But TJ Ward gave a great story about the Super Bowl time with with Aqib Talib. You know, Aqib had a wild ride here, man. Aqib had a wild ride. He had some ups and downs. But the there may be an element, a significant one, not only of as a player, but as a leader. But it's tough, man. It is a tightrope as a leader that Aqib Talib brought to the table. So whether you need to bring something like that back or not, I think it's important. I think it's a good question for Emmanuel Sanders when he comes in here. We'll give you that story coming up with Football at 4 next.